Job is a man who loved God, served God, obeyed God, kept his law, was spotless, hadn't done anything wrong, did all the good things you were supposed to do, avoided all the bad things you weren't supposed to do. Now all of a sudden, even though he did everything right, God is judging him in this world. He's sick from head to toe. He's grieving. He's lost his family. He's lost all of his wealth. And now he's losing all his friends. And they're out to accuse him and declare that the reason all this is happening, these physical things and these psychological things and these circumstances, is because he's not who he says he is. He's a hypocrite. And Job is saying, no, I'm not a hypocrite. I know I look like one to you, but you're liars. And I'm actually innocent and righteous, pure, and I'll be vindicated. And you remember last week we ended up with this statement that Job said, I know. I'm not just saying it. I'm not just guessing. I know for certain, for absolute certain, without a shadow of doubt, that my Redeemer lives. I have a Redeemer. I have a Creator. You say the Creator's mad at me. I say He's not. And to prove it, I have a Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that on the last day, in the latter day, singular, He will arise, He will stand up upon the earth. He's not alive. He's not just alive today. He'll be alive forever. That's incredible that Job could know that. You couldn't know that just by feeling that or thinking that. Or you certainly couldn't judge by your circumstances. How did Job know that he had a Redeemer? Had to come from the Word of God. Had to come from believing the Word of God. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at the last day, He will stand upon the earth and vindicate me. I mean, right now, apparently, He's against me, and I mean, I'm in trouble. You say it's because of what I did or didn't do. I say I don't have to do a thing. You say it's because of what I did and didn't do. I say I don't have to do anything, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm innocent. I'm righteous. I'm on the right side of God. You say because I say I'm on the right side of God, that proves I'm not on the right side of God, and that's why all these troubles are happening to me. I say I have no idea why these troubles are happening, and I don't care, and I'm not complaining about God. I'm complaining about the troubles, saying, wish I could die. You're saying that's proof that God's not with me. I say, I don't care about your proof. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that at the last day He will stand upon the earth, and He will declare, and though worms destroy this body, yet I will see God with my eyes, eyewitness, and not another. That's a strong faith to have when all hell breaks loose, when everything looks bad, and even it's obvious that God is allowing it, if not designing it, that God is doing it. And his friend said, no, no, if you were righteous, this would not happen to you. The righteous live a long time. It's only the wicked that die early. And he's saying, you know, I know I'm going to die early, but I say this, you're wrong. Your argument is completely wrong. I see that the wicked often live long lives, and they're doing well. That's what I say. And I say the righteous often die young. So I disagree with your premise. I argue with your argument. I rebut what you have put against me, that just simply because I'm suffering, I couldn't be righteous. I say I'm suffering, and I have no explanation for it, but I will not accuse God, and I will stand, and my confidence will not be shaken. My hope is in God. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know on the latter day He will stand upon the earth. And even though worms destroy this body, yet I will see God with my own eyes and not another. Do you all have that confidence? Now there's two religions at war here. The religion of Job's friends, the Naamathite, and all of these ites that live around Job, and then Job. And since Israel's in this same problem today, I like to look at Job before going to Israel. I like to look at Job. Number one, there's a difference between law, L-A-W, I'm going to call that number one, and equity. I'm going to call that number two. Law and equity. Now, law is something that tells me what I should do. Law tells me exactly what's expected of me. And so I'm going to write it this way. Anything that is law tells me what I'm obliged, what I am obliged to do or to refrain from doing or refrain from doing. In other words, I prohibit you from doing this, I command you to do that. So either I do it or I refrain from doing it, but I'm commanded because that's my duty. That's my duty before God, and it's a burden placed upon me by the Maker. So the law is a hard thing, and this is the only thing that law does. Can we turn down the thing so I can yell? I haven't gotten to the good part yet. It's important for you to understand law because that's in the Bible as well as in society. In fact, everybody lives under law. You have personal laws, you have moral laws, you have natural laws, you have cultural laws, you have Bible laws, you got the law of the Spirit, you got the law of, you know, you got all kinds of laws. So law is what life is all about. There is laws for everything. There's gravity, that's a law, you know, and so on and so forth. So laws are everywhere. You cannot escape the laws. However, equity is not law. Equity is a interesting partner to law so that law does not become lawless. Law must always be fair and just, and in the hands of the righteous, it is through equity. So equity is not what I'm obliged to do or refrain from doing, not a duty or a burden laying upon me, but equity is what the maker of the law, what the maker, the legislator, the creator, has done and is willing to do and will do for me. For, on my behalf, what he's obliged to do. In other words, it's his duty, the maker's duty or burden, so that his duty, so that I'm blessed. I am unburdened, I'm free, I'm blessed, I'm benefited. Now, of the two, which one do you like the most? So, number one is tough because if we look at human laws, you actually can drive within the speed limit. So, human laws are doable. But if you look at God's law are a little higher than human laws. How many know that they're higher? They're higher laws. Here's what God's law sounds like. Be perfect. That's a no-brainer. I mean, for me, why even begin? Why even pretend? Why even start? I'm just not a perfect type of person. I don't know if any of the rest of you are like me, but I'm not into perfection. I'm into what's reasonable at best. And I'm into what's unreasonable for the most part. I'm basically lazy. Basically. I mean, fundamentally. But I'm also a liar and a hypocrite, and so I sometimes pretend like I do my duty. I don't know if there's anybody here in the church like that. But I'm basically a lazy person. If I had my way, I wouldn't even be here. I'd be in bed or playing golf or picking up seashells on the shore or walking through the woods or something. I just wouldn't be here among hypocrites. Y'all didn't pick that up. You know, but I mean, I would be doing something fun or at least pleasant or at least sleeping it off or at least eating grapes. I mean, I just wouldn't be here. I mean, this is not my idea of fun. When does the fun begin? You know, and so I would not be here if I had my way. I'm also a liar, and I'm a natural at it. I'm a very good liar. I'm a capable liar. I actually experiment in doing, even improving upon my lies. I'm very good at deceiving. I'm a deceptive person. I'm a thief. I would murder. I go quickly from frustration to anger to rage to murder. And it just If it weren't for fear, I would go quickly into murder, Joe. Some people, I just want to murder them. You know what I mean? I mean, I just want to choke them. I like that. So, thanks be unto God, he doesn't allow me that full expression of my real self. I don't call it an id or a libido or all those other kind of silly words that somebody's made up. I just call it sin. I just want to sin. And I hate restraining myself. I like to express myself. When I'm mad, I like to express it. And I do around the house. I don't do it in church because I'd lose the money. But basically, I do it wherever I can. Wherever I have people that won't run away because I explode on them or yell at them or scream or, you know, whatever. I just love being around people that can handle the real me. I mean, in church, I fake it. I fake it. Because the truth is, if anything good ever came out of me, it'd be a lie as far as I'm concerned. It'd be a miracle as far as God's concerned. Because equity always rescues law from doing what law would do if you applied the letter of it to do harm to someone. You see, under the first one, what I'm obliged to do or refrain from doing, that's for Jesus. Be ye perfect. Now, of course, I'm not talking about human law here. I'm talking about God's law, God's divine law. I'm just not a perfect type person. I just illustrated it to say everything you're not supposed to do, I either have done, thought of doing, or haven't yet had the occasion to do because it hasn't come up. Hello? Do I have any partners in crime? Is there any partners in crime? There's a couple. Praise God. So I appreciate that. So I'm just being honest. Most pastors are not honest, but I'm not criticizing them because they're going to say what you're supposed to say. I'm just telling you the truth. In truth, if it weren't for Jesus, if it weren't for Jesus, apart from me, he said, you can do nothing. That would be me. Nothing. That'd just be me. I'm completely a nothing doer. You know, whatever God has told me to do or refrain from doing, what he said not to do, I would do. And what he said to do, I wouldn't do. I don't like being kind to my neighbor. And I don't like, you know, if Peggy were here, well, here she is, right here. You know, I mean, she knows I will deceive, I will lie, I will prevaricate, I will do whatever I have to do to get my way. I'm a selfish person. I'm basically selfish. Has not changed since I was born again. I know I'm born again. I know I'm a Christian. I mean, I believe in the blood of Jesus, praise God. But it doesn't stop my sinning at all. I still do it. Now, I'm going to see if Peggy will agree to that. Peggy, have I kept up my sin for the most part? I try on a daily basis, bring a little bit forth. I try not to put too much out at one time, but just kind of portion it out as it is deserved. So, I don't know. This probably won't gain any new members, but anyway. So, I don't like the law thing. The law thing just seems to be way too burdensome for me, way too heavy, way too high. Be ye perfect? Now, if I could change the law, and I've thought of discussing it with God, that we could knock off a few of the more egregious ones, some of them that I don't feel are as bad as he does, and I could just interpret them a little differently, I'd say it more like this. Just do the best you can, you know, and then comma, sweetheart, you know, something like that. If that's what God would say, well, of course I could live up to that. I always do the best I can. In fact, so little of my bad behavior comes out on a standard basis. It'll creep out, it'll sneak out, and at home it's right there. But that's the beauty of being married. Now, most of you should thank God you're not married to me. If you were a woman, you would thank God. God, thank God I'm not married to him, because he sounds awful. You're right. And that's why Peggy doesn't preach. That's exactly why she doesn't preach. Because she would use illustrations that would, you know, would expose me. But I tell her, you know, if you want to eat and have bread and butter, just sit on the front row and don't let anyone see what you're looking like. So I don't want her telling on me. But actually, some good stuff comes out of me every once in a while, and that's a miracle. When that comes out, it's like, I don't even know where that came from. It must be a miracle. I must have not paid attention. If anything decent ever came out of me, I mean ever, it was just like a miracle. Because that was not my intention. I never intended that. I always intended to get for me alone. If God was offering salvation to all mankind, I really don't care about mankind. I just want to get mine. I'm just that way. I am so selfish and self-centered and nasty that if he offered everybody in this room, you know, something, I'd just make sure I got mine. I'd elbow my way in and get mine. Well, he said it was for me. So I just grabbed my own. Now, the rest of you have been taught not to do that. And a lot of you behave yourself. You're the one I'm bumping. See, because you can't say anything. I'm just getting mine. And thank God a lot of you are more moral than I am, more religious than I am, more kind, more gentle, because then I can, you know, get away with stuff. Hello? Hello? Is anybody out there? Now, what I'm really telling is what you're all like. And I know the teenagers in the room are readily willing to admit, Pastor, I'm just like you. Could I see a show of the young people in the, I know they'll agree with me, that you're as nasty and as selfish as I am. Just, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see that hand with every eye bowed and every, you know. And so young people will admit that readily. Older people tend to try to keep up the old appearance. And church is the greatest place to be phony. This is the place where you could pretend real well because everyone's here doing the same thing. It's like those mask balls where you can't tell who's behind the mask. That's kind of like church. It's kind of like a mask ball. And you can see people being naughty, but they have a mask on, so you can't tell exactly who that is. Who's the guy in the red suit? You know, that kind of thing. So, here we are at home here, and just for once in our life, we're just saying like it is. Now, Job was having trouble because his friends were using the law, and he was standing on equity. His friends were using the law against him. They said, Job, look at it this way. You must have done something wrong. No matter what your testimony, that you're innocent and true, you must have done something wrong because you're sick. And that proves it right there. Not only that, you've lost your family. All your relationships have gone to pot. Not only that, you've lost all your wealth. Tell me, is that the favor of God? If you were righteous, would God allow that? Would God design that? I think not. It's a clear and unmistakable proof that you are wicked. Not only that, but the wicked don't live that long, buddy, and you're about to die. So that's proof. If you were godly, if you were righteous, if you were truly with God, you'd live for a long time. You'd have health and wealth, good relationships, long life. I tell you, it's obvious to us. You are wicked, and we accuse you, and we deny that we are the vile ones. It's clear that you are, and wisdom lies with us. Well, Job, for some reason, wouldn't let go of his innocence. He wouldn't let go that he was righteous under number two. Not only that, he denied that there was anything wrong with him under number one. But he said, I won't count that one because that just could be legalistic and outward. But I tell you what, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that on the last day he will stand upon the earth and vindicate me. And I know that even though worms destroy this body, and you imagine that I was guilty because of that, I tell you, my eyes shall see him on the earth living. My Redeemer liveth. Now, at that time that Job was living, and no one knows when that time is, but on that time when he was living, the Redeemer wasn't even born. And not only that, he said he knew that he lives forever. He was been talking about something funny. And he was going to be living until the last day of the earth. I know that at the last day, not plural, the last day, my Redeemer will stand up. My Goel. Remember we talked about the Goel last week? All right. I want to look for a moment at the Goel, the Redeemer. That's the Jewish word, the Hebrew word for Redeemer is Goel. All right. So a Goel, I wish I had a bigger pen so you could all see this. A Goel is a Redeemer. It just means a Savior. Now, Goels do two things, A and B. So, under number one, if I'm obliged to keep the law and be perfect and be holy as God is holy, and if I fail in that, I can go to number two. Because number two says, even though Jim deserves to die, yet it was never my will. My original intention was to bless Jim. I love that. I'm going to repeat that. My original intention, saith the Maker, God. My original intention was not to condemn him under the law, but was to bless him under the gospel. That was my original intention. In other words, my original intention was not that he be holy through keeping the law. My original intention was that he not be holy through keeping the law, but that Jesus be holy through keeping the law, and that Jim would believe on him. So I'm going to write like this. I'm going to write here the word faith. My original intention was that Jim would be a faith man and not an obedience man. I'll write up here, obey. I never wanted Jim to obey. And thank God I didn't. Thank the Lord, I did exactly as he intended. I didn't obey. I wasn't perfect. I never have been, never will be, ever. But I have faith that Jesus is my Goel, and that Jesus was obedient and perfect for me. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but that is good news. Because I've sinned so much, not only when I was born, but even before I was born. That's why, you know, Mom tried to get rid of me. Because she, I don't know, she had just this inkling that this boy is going to grow up a bad seed. He'll grow up, he will be wicked. And my mom figured that out. Actually, it was my grandmom. My grandmom said to my mom, look, if you keep this kid, your life is over. If you keep this little, you know, brat, your life is over. Look at your sister did, because my cousin was also born kind of funny too. You know, my aunt was only 16 or something. My mom was, what, 19 or 18 or whatever. I guess she was 18 when she conceived me. But that was not supposed to happen. That was kind of like a mistake. One night stand was over. And so my grandmother said, you know, look, we've already lost one of our girls. You know, let's get rid of this one. And so they tried on four separate occasions to abort or get rid of something worth nothing. It's just a little nothing. That was me. That was me they were talking about. But I was vigorous, and I determined to live. Oh, thank God, you see. Because it was God's intention that I live. He actually wanted me to live, and here I am. Aren't you thankful? Oh, glory. Well, I am. I'm very thankful. I don't know why, but I have a predilection to take care of myself. There's something in me, a self-preservation something or other, that just wants to live, even though I am not worth living. My grandmother was right. He is a bad seed, you know. This is not a good... And grandmother never really had affection toward me. Isn't that funny? Your own grandmother. She never had affection toward me, but she did love my cousin Bud, who was here at the funeral. She loved him, but then neglected my sister and myself because we were, you know, not wanted because we were ruining Mom's life. You know, Mom's going down the drain. You know, my mom could have amounted to something except for me. See, I kind of ruined her life. Woohoo! Y'all see that? I love it. This is so accurate to me. This is very powerful. Because my grandmother had me nailed. She had it nailed. This boy's no good. Your life's going to be over. And that's pretty much true. My mom had a pathetic life. It was awful. Had she gotten rid of me, who knows what would have happened. But I'll tell you something. Even though she was trying to get rid of me, my mom felt guilty about that later. And it wasn't till she was 58 years old that we had a discussion about that, because I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was tried to be aborted. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. I said, well, Mom, what'd you do? how did it work? I'm not mad at that. In fact, I'm happy I was, you know, you had a one-night stand with somebody. I'm glad. Because, look, I'm here. I don't care that you were immoral. I don't care that you did evil. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm happy. I'm glad you sinned. Because here I am. So don't feel guilty. Here I am. And I don't care that you tried to abort me, because it didn't work. So it's okay. Who cares how I got here? I'm here. Y'all understand? I mean, when you're a little kid, you don't really care about morals. You just want to live. See, and now that I was bigger, anyway, so I forgave her. I said, I forgive you, Mom, I don't care. You know, here I am, by the grace of God, here I am. And after that, I witnessed to my mom. She became a Christian, and that's how she became a Christian. Isn't that neat? Neat story. So she felt she had to tell me all that story of her guilt. She said, from that hour, I determined in my life never to be happy. I did not deserve, after trying to kill my own son, to ever be happy. And so she just determined that. And, you know, praise God, I introduced her to Jesus under two. Because under one, she broke the law, but under two, she got equity. I told her, oh, no, Jesus forgives you. I forgive you. Believe me, Mom, I'm never going to, you know, fight with you over that deal. Because I'm just glad I'm here. If I weren't here to save you, see, maybe you had me so I could bless you. That's powerful. There's no maybe about it. I'm sure that a young child shall lead them. I'm sure that I was born into the world just so I could save my mom. I don't have any doubt about that. And my mom got saved good. It was a good save. She was good saved. Now, not only does the Goel teach a different kind of religion than a law-based religion, Goel teaches a faith-based religion, but there's two parts to the Goel. Now, I'm going to write it in red so you can see these two parts. The first part is what we call the work of the Savior. That's not dark enough. I know you can't see that. Oh, boy. Okay, I'll try this. I want you to see this because this is very, very important and it'll help you to understand Job and the whole Bible. Can you all see that? A. All right. The first part is to rescue me or you or all of us from the bad guy, from destruction, from poverty, from sickness, from sin, from whatever is against God's intention. So that's the first thing, is rescue me through faith by his own intention from everything negative. Now, I want to discuss that for a second. I know I started it last week, but I want to explain it. A Goel is always a kinsman. He's always related to you. It's someone on your side who's closely related to you. Now, if you had a brother, it might be your brother. But let's say the brother didn't want to pay money, and let's say I lost my house, and I lost my, like Job, you know, he lost everything he had. And the Goel then could come along and say, Job, even though you've lost your family, even though you've lost your health, even though you've lost your money and all your wealth and your property and your lands and everything, don't worry about it. I'm your closest of kin. That is, I'm the closest one in your family, because none of the others that were even closer would do this, who wants to take care of you. I'm going to rescue you out of the hands of a third-party despot, somebody who found you in this condition like these friends. And these friends were telling him, Job, we accuse you of being a liar. We accuse you because you won't repent. If you'd just repent and do something. Job said, no, I won't do anything. You're trying to put me under the law, number one, to do something or refrain from doing something. I don't have anything to do, and I'm not going to do anything, and I'm just going to stand on my faith. Isn't that powerful? Don't do anything. That would be number one. I believe God intended for me to live. I believe it's his intention to bless me. Well, I can see right now that God is judging me. I can see right now that God's allowing this. I don't care if it's the devil or God or who it is. It would have to go through God's permission slip thing. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't look good for me right now. It looks like I'm going to perish. And you say it's because I'm wicked. You're thinking number one, but I'm thinking number two. I couldn't be wicked under number two because there's no burden placed upon me. That's placed upon Jesus. And I believe that I know this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that on the latter day he will stand upon the earth and declare me righteous and innocent and pure. And even though worms destroy this body right now, and you don't see my flesh, and it's consumed, yet I will see God on this earth, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And on the last day, he will raise me up again. That's pretty powerful. So Job felt he had a Goel, a kinsman Redeemer, and even though none of his brothers, and none of his friends, and none of his family, and no one that he knew was his kinsman Redeemer, he still felt he had one. I don't know where he got that idea. That there was someone in his family that loved you. Someone that cared for you. Amen? Because my grandmother didn't, my mother didn't. Nobody was taking care of me. Everybody was, you know, out to get rid of me. And my second father, who wasn't really my father at all, who wanted to marry my mother, who did, who then later adopted me and said I was his son, but he didn't go through adoption because he said I was actually his son, but I wasn't. My mother told me clearly. No, it wasn't that man, it was another man. But because he did it kind of quick, they could pretend like, but I didn't even get a birth certificate. I was 4 years old because I was a bastard. A bastard is someone who under law has no rights, has no existence. You're a bastard. You don't belong to anybody. I love it. Don't you love that? Clearly, I am not for law. Clearly, I'm definitely an equity type person because, Joe, I don't have a choice. If I go under law, I'm finished. If I go under perfect, I don't have a hope. I don't have a chance. The only thing I can hope in, the only thing I can look for is God. Do you really want me to live? Do you really love me? Did you intend for me to bear no burden, to take no responsibility? Did you really intend for me to let Jesus be my only hope and salvation? Huh, you got a customer here. Because I don't even have the alternative. I've never been good. I've never thought good. Seriously, this is God's truth. I have never had one kind thought in my life. I never have. Even when I'm looking kind, I'm just looking kind. I can tell you, I'm just not a nice person. Go ahead. Exactly, exactly. And yet, how blessed she is to have me. Because I'm a faker. I can fake it, you know. But, of course, in the family unit, well, I don't have to fake. So, you know, I was just telling her yesterday, we have a little shop out back, and I'd open the door, and Peg doesn't like it to be open because of the rats and stuff will get in there. And I left it open, because I always do. And she came out, and she said, I noticed the door to the shop is open. And I said, well, whoever sees it first should close it. It seemed reasonable to me. It just seemed reasonable. It just didn't seem right that I, who opened it, should go and close it. I had to come up with something. And so I'm always never thinking right or doing right. I'm just not a right type of person. So the only way God could ever use me is to kill me. He'd have to kill me to get me to do something decent. Thanks be unto God. That's the second part of the Goel. The first part is to redeem me from the wicked one who owned me. I used to be sold into sin. I mean, I was a natural liar, a natural pervert, a natural whatever. Whatever you were supposed to do, I didn't do it. Whatever you weren't supposed to do, I did it, thought about it, or wanted to do it, or just hadn't had the opportunity, haven't figured it out yet. But sooner or later, I would have done it because I had no conscience, I had no code, I had no loyalty, I had no love, I didn't care. Y'all understand? Now, this is hard for you because most of you grew up with kinder situation and nicer things, and you hoped and believed and got disappointed and so on. I never did. I never believed in anybody, still don't. I don't believe in people. Don't believe in myself. The only one I believe in is Jesus. I don't believe in anybody else. I don't believe anyone loves me like Jesus. I don't believe anyone else is my Goel. Yeah, see, she knows the same thing. She knows exactly. You're not my parents. Yeah, that's what she was saying, basically. You're not taking care of me. I agree. I totally agree. Man, life stinks. We can just see it. Well, praise God. Thank God for a good mother. Amen. One willing, joyfully, happily leaving the service. You know, I mean, there's no problem. See, I wouldn't do it. If I had children, and I did, I had four of them, but I hardly noticed them. But if I had children, I would just stick them in the tub and hose them down every once in a while. You know, I just wouldn't take care of them. Thank God for a wife, you know. I just always admired Peg for getting up at night. Peg, get up. There's the baby crying. Well, you get up. No, that's not me. I'm a man. Men don't do that. I've told you how I did once get up. One time I got up and she didn't want me to do it anymore. One time I got up and the baby was crying. I said, this baby's crying. Well, take care of the baby. So I ran down the hall and the baby went like this. I said, okay, I got it. And she said, you can't do that. And I said, well, then take care of the baby yourself. You see, I'm no good. But I'll tell you, my method worked. Because that baby would have cried for, you know, who knows how long. Because that baby wanted something that I didn't have. I didn't have the goods. You know, I didn't know what to say to it. Couldn't communicate. So I have never been a good person. Amen? Y'all see that? I've never been good. That's what's good about me is that I never lied about that. I never pretended. I never faked that out. I'm public, you have to do it. Because otherwise you don't get your way. But basically, I knew that this Redeemer thing is the only hope I ever had. I hope somebody else gets this. If you ever get this, blessed are you. Happy are you. I'm telling you, this is the happiest news, especially for sinners like me. But if you'll scratch the surface, you'll see everybody basically is like me. Peg is actually worse than I am. I'm actually better. What's better about me is I know I'm not better. And that's what makes her worse. She's a hypocrite. I'm just an honest sinner. She's a lying one, a fake one. She's always for herself. You know, I've proven that a million times. She's totally out for herself. She just pretends like she wants me to have the bigger piece of cake and stuff like that. But actually, I can tell she's salivating, whatever that is, and salivating. And so she's salivating. But I like my term better. And so she wants that bigger piece. So I always ask her, Peg, do you want the bigger piece of cake? No, you can have it. Of course, she's lying. But I go, good. And I just grab it and start eating it. And there's no discussions. She said it, didn't she? So too bad for her for lying. She should have told the truth. We could have divvied it up. Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing you may not know. Jesus only comes for sinners. Isn't that funny? He won't come for the righteous. He said, do not think I've come for the righteous. I've only come for sinners. Number one are those that are righteous under the law. They obey. Number two is those that have failed under the law, like me. And his original intention has to kick in, which is, I've always wanted to bless Jim. I never wanted him to have a burden. I love it. Are you kidding? You don't want me to have a burden? You want to just bless me? Go. Do it. I'm all take. I'm all selfish. You don't want me to do anything for you? No. How come? You never have. You're right. That's a good point you just made right there. As I never have. I've never felt like being good. I never wanted to be good. And I never was good. And there's no hope of my improvement. I am definitely not an improver. Peg, ever since the day you married me, if you could tell them that Jim has not improved. Because I never have. I was rotten from the beginning. She went with me for 5 years to learn that. And then she still foolishly married me. I don't know if it's because I was good looking. I don't really know the reason. Y'all didn't laugh at that. That's okay. It's okay. I don't know what the reason was, but her foolishness in doing that, she's been paid back abundantly for doing that. And I loved it. Because she cooks and she sews and she does all that kind of stuff that guys need. Peg, don't forget your duties. Because she's a duty person. Of course, she was miserable doing it, but I didn't care. Because I have no conscience. So just do your duty. This is good for you. You will cleanse yourself and avoid hell. See, that was her theology. That she wasn't good because she wanted to be. She was just good so she didn't go to that other place. I said, well, Peg, why are you doing all this? I don't want to go to hell. Very good. I married the right one. I married the perfect one for me, Scott. It was beautiful. I wish you could find one like this. You could find one just like this. So Peg was always motivated to do the right thing, even though she didn't want to do it and didn't actually do it. She never had a good attitude, Joe. Not on the inside. She was never like, oh, I just love you so much. She never had that attitude. I could tell she resented the freedom I had and the laughter and the abusiveness and so on, that I was still could smile and be happy. And she didn't want me to be blessed either. You don't think that's funny. And she resented that. But you know, that's okay, because I didn't resent her resenting me. See how much kinder I was. Do you see it? Do you see it? I mean, it's a virtue you can see right there. And so I think Peg was blessed. You know what? She wouldn't even know Jesus except for me. I'm taking credit for that. I'm taking credit for that. Because she knew I better get a God. Because he ain't. I better get somebody reliable because he's not. So you see, in a negative kind of way, I was a blessing. I believe, this is just a guess here. I believe there's at least two other men in this church that are similar to me. Could I see a show of hands? One, two, three, four. Oh, gosh. No. No. You're not as bad as I am. But you know what? Here's the only point I'm trying to get across is the understanding of Job is this. You cannot be good, even though Job was. He said, you don't have any sin against me. Even though I'm righteous and innocent from the law, the truth is, I'm not standing on that. I know that my Redeemer lives. And even though I'm in trouble today and sick and poor and everything's gone against me, I've lost my family and my hope and my whole point of living. I don't even have a purpose now. There's no point in staying alive. I've asked God to kill me. He won't do it. I know suicide is not right. But still, I'm not going to do anything, even kill myself. For I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that on the last day, he will stand upon the earth and he will vindicate me. Though worms destroy this body, yet I will see God with my own eyes and not another. Do you know I have a Redeemer like that who never dies, who will even be here on the last day? He's here today, he'll be there tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is our faith. Not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not Judaism, not Catholicism, not any of the other religions. And even a lot of Protestants, they talk the talk, but they don't understand. This is the secret, that our Redeemer does two things. First of all, he rescues you from the wicked, the third-party hostile guy that keeps me poor, naked, miserable, and oppressed. Or even rich, but ignorant. Now, not only does he do this work, A, as my Savior, he's my Savior, but he also is my Lord, Lord. And he takes me into his house, he buys me as is, takes me into his house, he not only forgives me, but then he begins to transform me until I'm perfect. And he transforms you. I don't do this. I don't do any of this work. He transforms me and perfects me till I'm perfect, just like God wanted according to his original intention. His original intention is not that I establish my own righteousness, but that I take his and let Jesus be my forgiver through the blood of the cross on Calvary, and then also my transformer and perfecter through the Holy Ghost that dwells within. So there's two parts to the goel, is to purchase me out of the bad guy, and then to take me home as is, and then to fix me up through love, not through law. I love it. I love it. Everything you all see in me today, which is quite interesting, is all a gift of God. I didn't do anything. All I did was behold him. And he changed me from glory to glory. And the one you're now beholding is the glorious work of Jesus. Amen? Do y'all understand? You see, I don't have any negatives in me. You know why? I don't bear burdens. I figured out right away when I read that word, hey, he does all the work, I get all the blessing. He does all the work, I get all the blessing. Now I've been teaching that to Peg, and she's using it on me. She wants me to do all the work, she gets all the blessing. Ha! Isn't that amazing? I'm the one who actually taught her that. And she'll use my own sermons against me. She'll say, Jim, remember what you said the other day? Yeah, that's just for the sermon. Don't take that personally. Nobody else does. They're not listening. They're not listening. The ones that listen are gone. It took off because they heard it. But you know what? They missed out. Because what God's intention is what prevails, not what the law says. The law was never written for you and me. It was only written for Jesus. That law was never written for you to do it. And if you have a child, and you put that child under the law, I guarantee you the child will break the law. Every child that's ever been born into the face of the earth can't live under law. But if you'll love that child, train that child, stay with that child, Show unconditional love to that child? Give them a law, but don't really mean it? Give them a law, but don't really mean it? Because when you give them a law, they're not going to be able to do it, and that's when you tell them it's okay because Jesus loves you. Woohoo! Kids like that. That's a little insight that they like. You mean I don't really have to make the bed perfectly? No, sweetheart. Mom will do it for you. Mom will do it for you and forgive you. You go out and play. Oh, every little kid loves that. Mom, could you make my lunch? Could you do my science project? Could you, you know? And little kids love to be forgiven for all the bad they did, and then they love to be helped. Mom, could you do it? And that's the glory of a mom. The glory of a dad is to pay for their college, buy them a car, you know, to take care of everything, teach them those things. Isn't that great? You all understand what I'm saying? That's the glory of a father, to give. That's the glory of a mom, to give. But you can't give unless you got. Somebody better give to you first, so that then you can give out of your abundance to others. And all God wants? Thanks. It's all He's ever wanted. Just thank me. I don't want you to do anything. I'll do all the doing. You just give me the thanks. And then I'll show you what you can do, because I don't need the money. Give it to the poor. You just use it, you know, support Pastor Jim, basically. You didn't laugh. You didn't see that. Basically, God doesn't need dough. How many know that He doesn't, you know, operate in those kind of coins? What God wants is your worship. All God wants is your heart. That's all He wants. Just give Him your whole heart, and then your whole soul, and then your whole life, and that's about all He wants. He didn't want anything else. And you know what? We're capable of doing that. Thank you, Jesus. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into His courts with praise. You see, all God's ever wanted is worship. When you love the brethren, you're actually not doing it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you, transforming you. When I love my wife, Peggy, I'm actually not doing it. I don't even get any credit for it. I took credit before, but that was just my sinful self. But the truth is, I am a good husband. Peg? Judy, was that cool or what? Was that cool? Did you all see it? She probably didn't say that as loudly as she said he's wicked. Just go ahead, Peg. Just tell him. Best husband, you know, stuff like that. Best husband. Best husband, I'm going to translate what she was saying. Best husband she could ever have had. Woohoo! Isn't that surprising? Out of this wicked soul cometh forth the blessings of heaven. You know why? It wasn't my intention. I never intended that. That was God's intention. How many know that God always gets His way? God always gets His way. If you're married, if anybody here married, stay. Because it's God's intention that you stay and that He bless you. Hello? Now let's say you were married and then got rid of the other one and aborted the whole thing. That's okay. He forgive you because He's your Goel. And then He'll transform you. Because the problem wasn't him or her. The problem was you. Hello? No, I was a victim. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Okay. I thought Jesus was the victim. But you're also a victim? I don't think so. Little children may be, because they don't bear burdens. The only victimization would be if you had to bear a burden when you shouldn't. You better learn to trust the Lord. And even if you made a mistake and got into, you lost your house because of your own sins, because you were drunk or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Or maybe it's because you were sick. It doesn't matter. You're not a victim. You have a goel. Turn to Him. The only sin now is not sinning. The only sin now is not believing. The only sin now is not sinning under the law. The only sin now is not believing under the gospel. That's it. That's an equitable thing. Equity just means equal. When you see the word equity, that's like equal. What it means is fair for fair. Here's what's fair. What God wanted is fair. That's it. He wanted me to live. He wanted me to live. When my mom tried to abort me, it didn't work, Joe. I'm not mad at her. Not at all. I don't have any feelings. I just told you that. I'm not mad at her at all. It's just a cool move on her part to try to survive. You know, hey, grandmother was right. But it didn't work because God wanted me to live. He ordained me to live, and I live that way. I live in total gratitude. I'm so grateful. I do not believe for a moment that I deserve to live or that I'm a decent person or that anyone should give any thanks to me for anything. Just thank God. But you need to be careful, because if you despise me, which I wouldn't blame anybody, but if you despise me, you might be despising yourself, because I'm a gift of God. I rap funny, but I'm a gift of God. Rap, you know, and crummy rapping, it doesn't matter. I'm a gift of God. You see? And Peggy's a gift of God to me. And you're a gift of God to me. But I'm a gift of God to you. So, we're in heaven. Amen? Are y'all ready to, you know, be in heaven? Y'all understand? Why wait? Let's start now. No burden. Jesus took all my burdens. Calvary, over. First half of the Goel duty. Responsibility. First half up there. I don't care what you think it is. That was the negative side of the law. If you want to read the law is really the positive side, equity, not the negative side. The law, if you'll ever read it, it says, don't go over. Don't do this. It's all negative. It never says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's not the law. That's the positive side of the law. The positive is not the law itself. It's the equity of the law. Equity is that which makes the law just if by reading it without the equity, an injustice would be done. In other words, if you follow the law, but it doesn't produce what the maker intended, then you have to have equity that corrects the law until it becomes just. Otherwise, it would be lawless. In other words, don't make God, through his law, look like a tyrant. For example, some people have said that God predestines everyone, some to hell and some to heaven. I say wrong. I don't care how you read it under the law. I don't care what the letter of the law says. Well, look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. I don't have to look at any scriptures. I don't care what the scriptures say. I'll twist them. I'll turn them. I'll make them say something good about me. And I'll put all the burden on God. Then I did the right thing. Remember Jesus? The Pharisees were saying the Sabbath is made and man has to obey it. And Jesus said, you got it just upside down and backward. Even though the letter of the law says what you say it says, you've interpreted it wrong and you've applied it wrong. Here's what the Sabbath is. It's for man to be blessed. It's not for man to labor. It's for man to cease from labor. So if somebody's sick and they're laboring, take away their labor. Make them well. If somebody's poor, feed them, clothe them. If somebody's hurting, comfort them. That's the law. It's the equity that makes the law a perfect law. So the perfect law of liberty is I don't have to do it like under the law, but I'm free to do it. That's the law of liberty. I'm free to do the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. So Jesus interpreted the Sabbath. Man's not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for man. In other words, everything God has ever done was always for your good. So I don't even need to know what it says. All I need to know is everything's for my good. Even Peg can understand that. Jim, is what you're doing for my good? Good question. Were you doing that for you or for me? Well, for you. Knock off that easy answer. Were you doing that for me? Yes. She knows how I lie so easily. So she says, really, was that for my benefit? Are you sure that I don't feel the benefit coming if it was? Is that for my benefit? Absolutely, Peg. You know that I would never do anything except to benefit you. Do y'all understand? So, the purpose of the law, she's right. She's right. Now, sometimes I have to say, I'm sorry, you're right. I didn't do that for your benefit. I did it for my own. Forgive me. And now, I'll correct it. You all understand? That's Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you feel that Jesus has saved you? Now, most people want to stop at A. They like the idea that God will rescue you from the devil, but what they don't like is that we have to go on to B and let the Lord transform you today from heaven. I like that he died for me 2,000 years ago, A. But I don't like the idea that he wants to change my life right now until I become exactly like Jesus, bearing burdens voluntarily. Whatever's under the law, I now do it happily, voluntarily. I want to please Peggy. I want her to be blessed. I don't want to bless myself. I don't care now. You know why? I got a Jesus. He takes care of all my needs. I don't need to take care of my needs anymore. Do you all understand? Now, you can't do this like faking it. You have to really believe that Jesus will take care of all your needs. Even if you mess up, Even if you mess up, even if you're in trouble, you've got to go out. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. And he shall declare my righteousness. Not under one, but under two. In other words, I'm not righteous because I was righteous. I was righteous because I believed in him who was righteous, who did it for me. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. When Jesus was buried, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't do it for himself. He rose for you. He was buried for you. He died for you. He suffered for you. He lived for you. He was all for. He said, I never do my own will. I only do the will of my Father. I always do what's pleasing to him. What's pleasing to him? Take care of Jim. Take care of Scott. Take care of Joel. Oh, I like this Jesus. He's a great Goel, a great Redeemer. He not only rescues me from the enemy, then he transforms me into his likeness so that I can inherit everything that the law would have given. You see, under the law, I got hell, Jesus took it. I got death, Jesus went down there. Jesus actually died, then went down to hell for me. And he went down there in his righteousness and in his righteous indignation. He squeezed the devil's nose. Ow! He said, give me the keys. Took the keys from him. Now I'm unlocking these doors. And he let the captive go. Don't you love it? That's Jesus. He just squeezed right on his nose like that. I love it. That's my Jesus. I love having a Goel. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's the one that is my older brother. He's my whatever I need. He's my all in all. But not only that, he not only saved me from that bad guy and all that was coming to me, he gave me everything he had. He got heaven. He got all the blessings. He gave them to me for free. And now he's transforming me so that before I get there and see all the things I've got, I'll have some character. Because otherwise, I'd just eat all the peanuts. I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to, hey, can I have one of these? I'd just be grabbing stuff. He said, Jim, it's all yours. Well, I know, but could I have some? I'll put these in my pocket. And because I'm not used to being blessed that much, see? So I'll just grab everything I can get in the place, you know, before anybody else. They're looking at Jesus. I'm grabbing all the peanuts and stuff. Are you all like me? Is there anybody here as wicked as I am? But Jesus will come along and say, Jim, what are you doing? I'm just putting some peanuts in my pocket. Is this okay? There's peanuts galore. Just say peanut and they'll come to you. I didn't know that. I didn't even read the fine print. It's all mine. All that's his is mine. Forever. I love it. And it starts today. Does anybody need redemption? You need to be rescued from your addictions, from your thoughts, from your habits. Otherwise, you'll end up like Pastor Jim. You need to be rescued, redeemed, bought as is. Don't fix up. Don't do a work. Don't do anything. Jesus did it all. There's nothing for you to do. It's been done. It's already done. I cannot establish my righteousness under the law because it's been done. When God saw his son doing the law, he said, it's done. And Jesus on the cross, he said, it's finished. I did it. I didn't do it for me. I did it for them. For all mankind, whosoever will may come. Anybody can come. There's no predestination. Everybody's predestined in Jesus. Anybody who wants to. All you have to do is take it. It's not predetermined. It's pre-known, but not predetermined. You get to decide. It's all for you. You want a blessing or do you want a burden? How many want a burden? How many want a blessing? Amen. That's yours. I'm telling you, and it doesn't start in heaven, it starts today. As soon as you accept that there's no more work for you to do, you'll be free. You'll be free from the enemy. You'll be in God's house. Then he'll slowly transform you. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Beholding him, I didn't even behold myself. I'm not even looking at myself. I'm not even checking myself out in the mirror. I'm not under the law. I'm just being loved to death. He's just loving me to death. He's just grabbing me and hugging me. Oh, Jim, I just love you so much. And it's, you're killing me. He says, good. Squeezing me till there's nothing left. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? That's what Jesus is doing. He's loving me to death so there'll be no more Jim. Because he's saying, Jim, all you need is me. I'm your life. I'm your joy. I'm your peace. I'm your wealth. I'm your everything. I'm your health. I'm your family. I'm your everything. Not only in the world to come, but even here. So God is a good Goel. That's what Job is all about. His friends didn't get it. They were stuck in the psychosomatic, the physical, soulish realm. They couldn't divide between soul and spirit. Job spoke in the spirit, they spoke in the flesh. That's why his friends were all condemned and wrong. Not because what they said sounded wrong. It's because the motive was one, not two. They had a total misunderstanding of what life is all about. It's not about you bearing a burden. It's about you enjoying yourself day in and day out. Isn't life wonderful? Aren't we in heaven? Aren't we already in heaven? I know you're not. You don't see it. I didn't say see it. I just said, aren't you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. It's already here. You're already in heaven. I'm in heaven. Is anybody in heaven? Is anybody here in heaven? I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. I don't care what I see. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not looking. I look at God's intention. He intended me to be happy every day of my life, and I'm taking it. That was better than I wanted as a pagan. Because as a pagan, I was going to hell. Now, as a Christian, I'm getting more than I was going to get as a pagan who wanted to get everything. I got it all for free. I didn't even earn it. I never did. I never did earn it. I never did. I never did. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's close in prayer. I hope you're blessed. I hope you're blessed. Hope you're blessed. Father God, we thank you that we have a Goel, one that not only rescues us from the bad guy, but brings us in and transforms us until we're exactly like Jesus and ruling over his whole house. I thank you that that day has not yet come fully, but it's on its way. We're heading in the right direction. The process is not complete yet, but we're on the way. You're transforming us from moment to moment, from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from mercy to mercy, power to power, joy to joy, peace to peace. It's glorious, Lord. Every day we see more and more heaven in our lives. And we see less and less of the enemy, less and less of the power of the bad guy. We see all the good stuff, because Jesus, you took all the bad. You conquered all our enemies. You told us not to be afraid, not to worry, not to strive or work hard. You told us to just no sweat, rest. I did it all. Finished. Done. Just relax. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you saved us and now you're sanctifying us, and soon you will glorify us. And our works will glorify you. We will all be transformed in the image and likeness of Jesus, even in our marriages, even in our church, even in our personal lives, in our businesses, in everything that we do. Even the neighbors will notice. Even strangers will stand in awe. Is that the same person I used to know? You look different. You look peaceful. You look happy. You look wiser. You look more rested. I thank you, Lord God. This word is true, and the truth has set us free. In Jesus' holy and wondrous name, and everyone said, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, not condemning anyone. Be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace, shalom, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Love you all. God is good.